Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Well, thanks for joining us today on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. One of the things we like to do is highlight some of our staff members that maybe you don't see on the platform on Sundays, and we've said this a number of times, and it is very true. There are many, many people who make those of us who are on the platform look much better than we are. And today, I'm going to introduce you to Angie Mood, who's been a part of our staff for quite a while. Thanks for joining us, Angie.
It's my pleasure.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and where you came from before you came to Utah and some of the things you did there.
The land of eternal summer, my friend. My husband Chuck and I are natives of South Florida, Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. And hashtag Florida man is real. It's a different culture there in South Florida than here in Utah. We are the parents of two children and two bonus children and three, almost four grandchildren. So our...
Can you define, what's a bonus child?
Bonus child, in-law children, but we don't like in-law. We love our children's spouses as if they were our own, so...
Yeah, I was just considered an outlaw in the family I married into. So what kind of things did you do in Florida?
In Florida... Most of my adult life, I was in full-time ministry there as working in a Christian school. So I started out as a mom, counting candy money, volunteering, moved into teaching for a little while. And almost 20 years later, when I left there, I had the opportunity to be the senior administrator and do a lot of work on the HR end and the business end of the school there in South Florida. I figured that would be my career forever.
Yeah, I didn't think Utah was in my future once upon a time either. And I can actually remember the office manager coming with your resume and saying, this lady ran a school in Florida, and they're moving out here. And that was a slam dunk to bring you on the staff. So describe your role here at Washington Heights.
Yes, so here now currently at Washington Heights, I have the privilege of leading the guest services team, which is the team of people that help make Sundays happen here, and connection. And now most recently, I've been able to take small groups under my job description. And so I'm leading our small group ministry as well.
And connections and the things that happen on Sunday includes, in case you're ever wondering, who makes that incredible coffee happen. And it all flows up to Angie, ultimately.
Our
and
awesome
an incredible team.
Team
that makes that a reality every Sunday.
Absolutely.
And then the ushering and the greeters, and then over the small groups. And let's zero in on small groups for a little bit. That's big. Point of emphasis for us as a church. We really, you know, value that. Can you just kind of, from your own perspective, describe for us why? Why small groups? Why do we value that? What is the win there?
Absolutely. So when I look at small groups and I look at any of the things that we do here at Washington Heights, we filter everything through the lens of helping people meet and follow Jesus. And we do that in four ways, helping people understand what it means to love God, love others, serve the world, and invite a friend. And so within the context of small groups, we put so much emphasis on that. First of all, loving God and understanding that who we are in God and who we are in Christ. And that's one of the things we can do through small groups, through guided discussions on the maybe follow-up questions from the sermon or maybe a video series that's topical in nature. And so through small groups, we help people learn what it means to love God. We also help them learn what it means to love people. You know, when God created the world, there was Adam, and he was alone, and God said, that's not good. And so he brought Eve, and Adam and Eve were together in communion and community with God. And so that, from the very beginning, was an important part of who we are. And so through small groups, we're able to help people understand what it means to build community and to have relationships, to lean on one another and support one another. And the serve piece for us here at Washington Heights, the compassion projects are huge. And our small groups serve together on Sundays, helping make that happen. They serve together under the umbrella of Washington Heights Church and some of the compassion efforts that we do together there. And a lot of our groups even have their own small niche serving projects that they do. Maybe I'd say based on an experience the group has had or someone in the group has had. We had a group that used to spend their Saturdays at a bike shop in Layton building bikes, repairing bikes for kids that were in foster care. So we see a lot of growth and understanding about what it means to be compassionate through our groups. And then inviting a friend, helping people meet and follow Jesus, that's one of the places where maybe somebody that's not comfortable yet coming to church on Sunday would step into a different kind of a gathering. And so it's a good place for us to invite people just to come and to understand a little bit more about who God is and who they are within the context of that.
Yeah, and small groups really isn't about small groups, right? Sometimes right. I want to say it's about relationships, which is the vital thing. And boy, when you look at the life of Jesus, never had a building to call his own, didn't write a book or anything like that. But boy, he spent time for 3 years in relationship with men and women that ultimately transformed the world. And so the relational component is so powerful. Is there a story that you can think of that, you know, stands out to you when it comes to relationships that, you know, has just been, you know, just maybe that's the bullseye. That's kind of the picture of what we're shooting for.
Goodness, there are a lot of stories like that in a lot of different contexts. I think that one of them, I look at a group right now that we've had that's journeyed through with a family in their group for several years now, maybe 3 years, critical illness and a young family, and they have worked together to sit with the patient while the spouse is able to come to church, bring meals, just support that family in so many ways. And, you know, that's just one of the ways that we can be different and pour into somebody else through our groups. Mm. And so
I think one of my favorite experiences is showing up at a hospital and, you know, asking where so-and-so is before a pandemic hit and we could actually go visit people. And then when they ask if you're a family or that, and you say, no, I'm, you know, one of the pastors over at the church that they go to, they go, how many pastors do that church have? Because there's been several people who have been there. And oftentimes those are small group members. And I just think, man, that is so powerful, right? That we do all of life together, the good, the bad, and everything in between. We celebrate, sometimes we cry together, but all of it is just to be connected to each other in vital ways. And that raises a question, and, you know, I just already said, so here we are in the middle of a pandemic, and that has not allowed all of our groups to meet the way that they could. They can't be in person, right? And we can't go to the hospital right now. And so some of those groups have needed to pivot to being virtual groups. So they're meeting over Zoom and some other platforms like that. Is that still a small group? Is all that good stuff still happening?
Are still people still meeting and following Jesus? Absolutely. So I would say that it's going to look different. We tend to like things the way they are. We like things to stay the same. And small groups definitely look different. But can we help people learn to understand what it means to love God, love people, serve the world, and invite their friends? Absolutely. I think that people are looking for things different now. Life has changed dramatically for everyone. And so is it still a small group? I fully and 100% believe that we can still have the engagement with one another and have that relationship, whether it be over a screen, through a chat function on an app. We're just seeing that more and more. We're seeing so many people working from in their home and not in a group environment, even with their profession. And so I think that we miss the mark if we don't figure out ways to make this real for people.
And you think about the generations that are coming up, and boy, doing life through a screen is pretty normal.
For sure. My son, years ago, after he graduated with his undergraduate, he and his buddies had a small group in Google Hangout. That's been back in the mid-2000s, and they still do that today, many years later. And they've added friends and spouses, and their lives have changed, but they still have that genuine relationship and engagement in an online platform.
And everything has its pros and cons, but Boy, think of the opportunity to be connected to people maybe who are still in our community, but then maybe it's somebody across the country, right? And we didn't
exactly
have that opportunity before. So I think we've got to look for the wins. It's easy to focus on the losses maybe, but
for
I think
sure
we have to look for the wins and make the most of those. And from everything we're hearing, and I know you and I have had some conversations about this, you know, there is a lot of shift that has had to happen to a virtual kind of setting. And some of the people who were only doing in person before are now singing the praises of the virtual experience, saying, yeah, we didn't want to do it. We had to do it. Now we're never going back to the way it was. And we're seeing bigger wins in the virtual side of things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of them that we're getting underway here soon is called Financial Peace, which is going to be done virtually. And it seems like they've made a major shift to that virtual format.
Yes, for sure. They, like us, when we here at Washington Heights knew that an online presence was important. And we had already been working towards that when all of this happened. And they had as well at Financial Peace University, and they were ready to roll something out in the spring of 2021 that they have just pulled the trigger on and run it right now. And so it's a great opportunity for people, especially during this time, to be a part of that Financial Peace University. It's always been real expensive. We're able to gift it to everybody for just $20. Little commercial.
Go for it.
and join that group with us. They started meeting last Tuesday night, and they'll meet again now for the next 9 weeks. And so you can jump in to that at any time. But indeed, they were proponents of in-person only. The same with some of our other support groups, Grief Share, Celebrate Recovery, Divorce Care, and that pivot has been made, and nobody's going back. Mm-hmm. We'll be offering those types of groups. I see that now in the future.
Yeah, this virtual world, we either need to get used to it or, you know, I'm not sure there's another option
because right.
It's here to stay. Hey, let me ask you this question. So somebody who's listening, let's say they're an introvert like me, or they've had some bad experiences relationally and they're a little bit anxious about going into a group setting, whether it's in person or virtual, whatever the case might be, what words would you have for that person who's like, yeah, sounds good, but I got some notches on my belt that tell me, you know, it can be a little bit scary?
Absolutely. I would say, call me. I'm just like you. I too tend to be more introverted, and stepping into a group setting is hard for me. And but we have the opportunity to walk people through that, to help them navigate. We have groups with so many different focuses, some that are more traditional in nature, some that are wrapped around support, some that are wrapped around things that people have in common. And so we can find a group that's an easy entrance. And the other cool thing is you can walk into a group, and if it doesn't fit, you don't have to go back. Let us know. You're not going to be pressured to return or be asked, you know, what's going on? What's your problem? Mm. And so it's definitely a no obligation, no pressure, you know, give it a try. And like I said, call us, call our team. We have a great team here that helps people find a group that is a good fit.
Yeah, we can't guarantee you'll have a great experience, but we can guarantee we'll help you try
Absolutely.
To find that. and who can lead a group, right? And my guess is for people, you know, maybe being a part of a group, okay, I can see how that works. I'm wondering if a lot of people would rule themselves out of group leadership because they may be thinking, yeah, that's for super spiritual people and people have been, you know, to formal education and all mm-hmm. of that. Can you speak to that? Who can lead?
Sure, anybody can. Our hosts, we call them hosts, just because we want people to understand that you're opening your home, inviting a group of people. You're more of a facilitator than a leader. Sure, there are going to be hard questions. People are going to ask hard questions, but it's okay to say, I don't know the answer, or let's dig in together and find that answer. We have group leaders that call us and say, hey, we've got, you know, this discussion going on. How can you help? And so I would say, jump in, open your home, and be open to what God would have as far as hosting or leading a group goes. We are not looking for deep, deep theological, you know, study, but more guiding people. And again, like I say, understanding who God is and how we fit into his plans. So it's definitely not, they're not requirements other than to just let us know and let us walk that journey with you and see what kind of a group you might be able to lead.
We do ask group leaders to be members of the church, and that's just sort of an accountability thing both ways. So, you know, you kind of say, hey, we're on board with you, and that we, you know, have just understand, you know, that you've kind of, you know, been in a place where you've seen the picture of where we're going, and you've kind of given us a thumbs up on that in return. But yeah, other than that, you know, I think sometimes we think, oh, well, that's somebody who's got the answer to every question under the sun. And we're big believers, you know, that the Bible, God's word to us, is a good teacher, right? And so it doesn't always come through a human, you know, kind of master teacher. And then also, we learn from each other. And it's amazing how many times you're sitting in that circle, you hear somebody say something else, and you're like, yeah, I've been wondering about that. And they've journeyed through that, and I got my answer from, you know, somebody else that I'm doing life with. And it's more dynamic than I think we picture it a lot of times, because many of us are from that traditional school setting where there's the teacher up front, and we're all just taking notes and learning. But small group life is much more dynamic than that we're there with each other, for each other, learning from each other, sharing with each other. And oh, by the way, God is in the picture there as well.
Part
and
of that.
He does really well at helping transform hearts and lives. So let me ask you a question. I ask a lot of people who are part of this podcast here, shifting gears a little bit. What is one lesson that God has been teaching Angie recently?
Goodness, I think we've all learned a lot during this time. I don't think I'll ever forget sitting in the break room that day and back in March when we were eating lunch, some of us, and push notifications started coming on our phone, and the governor asked us not to meet for the next 3 weeks in groups of more than 100, and we immediately knew what that was going to mean, and looks of dread came over our faces. We were ready for Sunday. The bulletins were out. I had ordered 40 pounds of coffee for the 2,000-ish people we were expecting on Sunday, and everything changed. And we thought, well, we can do this for 3 weeks. And 17 weeks later was the first Sunday that we came back here together. And I think through all of that, God has just taught me that he's not expecting me to be perfect. He's expecting me to trust him and keep my hands wide open. I did actually shift into the small group director position during that period of time, and thought, I've been here a long time. I know groups. I got this. And then we said, oh, they're not going to look the same anymore. You know, so just trusting that and remembering that I am not called to be perfect. There might be some missteps. There may be some things that we step out and do in this new age that work and some that don't. But it's okay to say, that worked great. And you know what? That didn't really work well. But we're going to keep pressing on, and we're not going to be discouraged by the fact that things have changed so much. And so just keeping my hands wide open and listening more than I talk.
Let me know if you figure that out, how that works. And boy, yeah, it's good news that we're not here until our first mistake, because my ministry life would have been over day one.
You and me both.
Well, Angie, thank you for joining us and giving us more insight into those small groups. And thank you for all you do. And, you know, I'll just say this, and Angie will probably hit me when we turn off the record button here, but Angie is one of those people that will work till 2 a.m. to get something done here, and it's one of those people you have to sometimes pull the plug on them to get them out of here because they're maybe responsible to a fault. And to those of you that are listening, Angie's husband, he could use your prayers. He's going through a physical challenge with a kidney issue. And if you can remember Chuck, pray for him. Awesome guy, and just kind of an out of the blue thing here. And we sure appreciate him as well. And we know that you have your hands full here with all those responsibilities. And then you're also thinking about that as well. So, Angie, thanks for all you do. Thanks for joining us. And I'll see you back in the office.
Well, do it. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in today. And we hope to see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.